Several years ago, I was at a leadership retreat with the leaders and the staff of the church here, and we did a session on prayer, and then we had a break. And while we're on that break, one of the leaders of the church that I really admire, a great man, came up to me and said this, and he had tears in his eyes. He said to me, I'll never forget his words, he says, I know I should pray more, and I want to pray more, but for some reason, prayer is a struggle for me. That leader was giving voice to what many Christ followers experience. For many, prayer is a struggle. And that struggle can come with both a sense of frustration and guilt. Many, many Christ followers struggle in the area of prayer. And that struggle can happen for a lot of reasons. Sometimes we're told to pray, but we're not told how to pray. Sometimes we're just not in the mood to pray. Sometimes we wonder, what's the point of prayer if we sense God isn't answering? Or if we sense that our words aren't going past the ceiling. Other times, many times, we're just too busy to pray. Or when we do pray, we quickly run out of things to pray about. For many Christ followers, the only prayer they know is what I call spontaneous prayer, where we just talk to God in our own words, using our thoughts, our needs, the needs of others. It's just spontaneous prayer. And let me be clear this morning, absolutely clear. There's absolutely nothing wrong with spontaneous prayer. Spontaneous prayer is an important part of our Christian walk. But there are other ways to pray. Ways that have been practiced throughout the history of the church. And these ways can have a powerful impact on our lives. Which is why for the next 3 weeks, I want us to look at some ancient practices of prayer. Practices that we can adopt into our own lives. Practices that will help our prayer lives become healthy and vibrant. Today we're going to look at three of these practices quickly. We're going to look at fixed hours of prayer. We're going to look at praying the Psalms. And we're going to briefly touch on prayer books. Let's start with fixed hours of prayer. Fixed hours of prayer is the oldest form of Christian spiritual discipline. Let me say that again. Fixed hours of prayer is the oldest form of Christian spiritual discipline. Its roots are in Judaism, out of which Christianity came. Long before Christ, the Jewish people practiced fixed hours of prayer. Fixed hours of prayer is simply the concept of having set times throughout the day when you stop what you are doing and you pray. Now, that doesn't mean that you pray for an hour, like 60 minutes several times a day. It simply means you stop at certain fixed hours during the day and you pray for a few minutes. When the psalmist wrote in Psalm 19:164, seven times a day do I praise you, he was referring to fixed times of prayer as it existed at the time in ancient Judaism. In the Old Testament book of Daniel, we see three times a day Daniel would get down on his knees and pray. Daniel 6:10 says this. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he'd done before. Three times a day, Daniel would stop what he was doing, go to a designated place, get down on his knees and pray. Morning, noon, and evening were a planned, consistent part of Daniel's day. Those are the times that he would get down on his knees in a certain place and he would pray. That's why. When Daniel's enemies wanted to find him, they knew exactly where to look because he prayed at the same times in the same place every day. By the time of Jesus, fixed hours of prayer for the Jewish people followed the flow of Roman commercial life. In the Roman Empire, commerce depended on an orderly, organized business day. And so what would happen in the cities of the empire is the forum bell would ring. at the beginning of the day, 6 a.m. For the mid-morning break, 9 a.m. For the noon meal and break, at noon. To call the citizens back to work at 3 p.m. And to close the business day at 6 p.m. And so what the Jewish people did was they set their fixed times of prayer around the Forum bell ringing. When the bell rang, they would pray. And these times of prayer were so ingrained into the rhythm of Jewish life that Jesus certainly would have followed them. And this Jewish practice of praying at set times was adopted by the early church. We see in the book of Acts 3:1, it says this. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. The bell had rung. Afternoon prayer was at hand. It was 3 o'clock. And Peter and John were heading to the temple to pray, as they did every day. And on their way, if you know the story, they encountered a lame man at the temple gate. And that encounter led to Peter performing the first healing miracle after the resurrection of Jesus. My point today is we see that they were going to the temple to pray at 3 o'clock, a set hour of prayer. In Acts 10, we find Peter on a rooftop patio at noon, ready for the noon prayers. And it was during that time of noon prayer that Peter got a vision about the Gentiles and the gospel. In the Didache, a first century document about the teachings of the apostles on the devotional practices of the church, we read that Christ followers were to pray the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day. In the writings of church leaders right through the 3rd century, we see evidence of fixed hours of prayer being practiced. When we come to the 4th and 5th centuries, we see men and women moving into the desert to live in monastic communities where the ancient traditions and divine offices could be practiced. And just so you're aware, when we talk about fixed hours of prayer, they're also commonly referred to as the divine offices. Today, fixed hours of prayer are still observed several times a day in monastic communities. I like to go to the Abbey in Mission. It's a Benedictine monastery, and I like to go there just for times of prayer for myself. And I go to their guest house, and I spend time there praying and getting close to God. But at the Abbey, the monks at the Abbey, they pray 6 times a day. They have set times of prayer where they stop what they're doing, and they pray. As we head into the Reformation, and the Reformation was 501 years ago, and the Reformation basically is where the Protestant church came out of the Catholic church. And during that time, all manner of things that had to do with the early church were set aside for various reasons. Thus, fixed hours of prayer from the time of the Reformation until recently was mostly practiced within the Orthodox, Catholic, and Anglican traditions. Within those traditions, fixed hours of prayer were condensed and reshaped for the common person into 4 times of prayer a day: morning, noon, evening, and basically night prayer. Morning and evening prayer were the most popular and the most used. Today, fixed times of prayer are gaining popularity throughout Christianity once again. And I think that's a good thing, because we live in a hectic world where we're always on the move. We've got busy schedules. We've got technology. We've got endless obligations, which makes it easy for our faith to become another thing on our to-do list, or for our faith and our spiritual health to be put aside altogether. And yet, when we engage in fixed hours of prayer, when we set aside times during the day to pray for a few minutes, it reorients us. One of the ways we can guard against burnout and from overwhelm and from spiritual ill health is to start to practice the ancient tradition of fixed times of prayer. Personally, in my life, I've discovered having 3 fixed times of prayer a day has been a huge blessing. It slows me down. It gives order and perspective to my day. It grounds me. It keeps me focused on Jesus. It also reminds me to be in a posture of prayer as I go throughout the rest of my day. I want to encourage you to think about using fixed hours of prayer. How do you do it? It's actually fairly simple. Just set a few specific times during the day when you're going to stop what you're doing and you're going to pray. Then when the time comes, stop what you're doing and pray. Now, many people find the most helpful way to do this is to set their prayer times with natural breaks during the day. So either before or after breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or before bedtime, or maybe you have a natural break in the day when you can pray for a few minutes. Maybe it's coffee break or some other break in the day. And so what you do is you just set a time during the day when you're going to stop what you're doing and you pray. And so you take your iPhone or whatever phone you use and set a little alarm to remind yourself. The alarm sounds, you stop what you're doing, and you pray. Now, here's something really important. If you're going to try fixed hours of prayer, please don't try to add a whole bunch of times into your day all at once, because you're setting yourself up for failure. If you don't pray at all right now, maybe you can just take one time. Say, I'm going to have one set hour of prayer. I'm going to pray at 7 o'clock in the morning, every morning, for a few minutes before I go to work. If you've already got one set time of prayer, add another one. Maybe you say, I pray in the morning, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to add prayer after dinner. For just a few minutes every night after dinner, I'm going to pray. Or before I go to bed, I'm going to pray. Just add one more. Whatever you're doing, add one more. When you get comfortable with that, add one more if you want. I encourage you to try it. And now you're asking, so I'm going to pray like the early church at said hours. What do I pray during these times? Like I said earlier, often we run out of things to pray very quickly. Well, you're going to pray your words and borrowed words, a combination of spontaneous and ancient prayer. Look what it says in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread. And your version may say, and prayer, but that's not correct. The original frames it this way. To the breaking of bread and the prayers. What are the prayers the early church devoted themselves to? We're not told. But scholars feel it was most likely the Lord's Prayer and the Psalms. Praying the prayer Jesus gave them to pray and prayers from the prayer book they already had. The Psalms were and are the primary Jewish prayer book. They were Jesus' prayer book. Jesus prayed the Psalms throughout his life. In fact, when he was on the cross, he prayed the Psalms. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the opening line from Psalm 22. Jesus prayed the Psalms, and so did the early church. It formed their prayer lives. And I would suggest praying the Psalms should also form our prayer lives too. All of us need mentors in prayer. And the psalmists are some of the best mentors we can have. As you read and pray through the Psalms, you will learn how to pray through every season of life, because the Psalms take us through every season of life. I want to encourage you to set a fixed hour of prayer and then try praying the Psalms. How do you do that? It's pretty easy. Let me tell you. First is pray the Psalms in order. Start at Psalm 1, go to Psalm 2, go to Psalm 3, go to Psalm. Pray one psalm each day in order. The reason you want to pray them in order is because it will take you through the seasons of life. It will take you through the emotions of life, the highs and the lows of life. As you read the psalm during your set time of prayer, make the words of the psalm your own words. In other words, read the psalm out loud and thoughtfully. Soak in the emotions and the thoughts of the psalmist. Then begin to pray the words of the psalm to God. Let me give you a quick example today. Let's say I was going to read Psalm 23. I would read Psalm 23 all the way through. And then I would come back and I would start to pray it to God. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Father, thank you that you are my shepherd. You're my shepherd. And because of that, I lack nothing, and I thank you for your provision. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Lord, my soul needs refreshing. Thank you that you're the one that can refresh my soul. Father, lead me to quiet waters today. Bring refreshment into my life today. You see how that works? That's praying the Psalms. I want to encourage you to do that. Pray the Psalms. The early church prayed the Psalms. It formed them. They also prayed the Lord's Prayer. Luke 11:2 says, He, that's Jesus, said to them, when you pray, say, when Jesus' disciples asked to be taught how to pray. You notice Jesus didn't give them a theory on prayer. He didn't give them a sentimental statement like just talk to God. Jesus gave them a prayer, which was what the disciples expected, frankly, because that's what Jewish rabbis did back then. Jewish rabbis back then composed prayers for their disciples to pray. So when Jesus said, when you pray, say, he was giving them a prayer to pray. Do you know what that means? It means this. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we can be sure that we prayed well. I'll talk more about the Lord's Prayer next week. In their devotion to the prayers, the early church prayed the Lord's Prayer and the Psalms. The church also, as it went along, composed its own prayers. And many of those incredible prayers are recorded in prayer books. Now, I talked about prayer books in the pre-service chat this morning. And if you didn't catch the pre-service chat, I want to encourage you after this service is over to go back when it's posted online and watch the pre-service chat, because I talked about prayer books then. But briefly, a prayer book contains a collection of Bible passages and prayers that can be prayed in the church or at home. It can be prayed collectively with others, or it can be prayed individually by oneself. A prayer book invites us to say set prayers at set times. Using prayer books has been a rich, rich blessing in my lives. In my life. I've only got one life. In my life. And if you are interested in getting started in using a prayer book, I've got two I'd recommend to you. This is the one that started me on the whole prayer book journey. It's called The Divine Hours by Phyllis Tickle. And it's fairly easy to use. In fact, it's very easy to use. You just follow through what she's got laid out here and you pray it. Now, there's three or four volumes to this because it goes through the year, but this is a great prayer book to get you started. The second one I would recommend is this one. It's Common Prayer by Shane Claiborne, and it is a liturgy, and every day is May 29th. Here's what you do. May 30th, here's what you do. Here's how you pray, and it has a combination of both modern and old in it, and so whereas Phyllis Tickle generally has more of the ancient, this has both modern and old. My son Chris, he's 28, uses this every day, and he loves this. And this also has an app on your iPhone you can get if you want to do the app thing. So, Common Prayer by Shane Claiborne, Divine Hours by Phyllis Tickle. Either one of those is a great way to start your journey into prayer books. Now, I know somebody's going to ask me this question. Yeah, but what about vain repetition? No one can dispute saying the prayers of others or praying scripture can slip into the mindless mouthing of words. But then the question to ask is this: whose fault is that? If our prayers become vain repetition, it's because our hearts are not engaged. Listen, liturgy is neither dead or alive. Liturgy is either true or false. What is dead or alive is the worshiper. So what we need is true liturgy and an alive worshiper. Get a living worshiper praying true liturgy and watch out. Let me close this morning by saying how using prayer books, fixed hours of prayer, and praying the Psalms has impacted me. Again, next week I'll talk about my morning liturgy. We'll have it posted online and we'll go through that together. But let me just share with you a few ways that using prayer books, praying the Psalms, having fixed hours of prayer has impacted me. First, as I pray at fixed hours, I am constantly reminded throughout my day who God is, what he has done, and that he is present with me. As I mentioned, this grounds me. It gives me a right perspective and creates a solid foundation for me as I go through my day. Second, using prayer books, fixed hours of prayer, and praying the Psalms has formed me deeply spiritually. Deeply. These rhythms, saying these prayers, has formed me in a deep, deep way. Third, it has removed the I don't feel like it factor. Whether I feel like it or not, when it's time to pray, it's time to pray. So I grab my prayer book and I pray. Fourth, it has given me appreciation for other forms of Christianity. Eastern Orthodox, mainline Protestant, charismatic, Anglican, Catholic. Drawing from those expressions of Christianity has deepened my spiritual life and my walk with Jesus. It has also opened up my eyes to the pre-Reformation church. Often, as Protestants, we only think that Christianity is 500 years old from the Reformation to today, but there is 1,500 years of church history before that that we can learn from. Sure, there was a lot of stuff we don't want to learn, but there's a lot of stuff that we can learn from that can shape us. And lastly, using fixed hours and prayer books has connected me with the church across time and space. Have you noticed that much of contemporary Christianity tends to focus on the individual? It's me-centered. It's about how I feel, what I experience. And that includes our worship and our prayers. There's a lot of I, often not a lot of we. And yet in the Bible, every scene of heaven has people praising and singing and praying together. When I use fixed hours, when I use prayer books, I'm joining with Christ followers all over my time zone who are stopping and praying what I'm praying. When I stop at noon to pray, I am praying what other Christ followers are praying all over my time zone. There's a great we aspect to that. And then when I say my final amen, I'm passing on prayer to other Christ followers in the next time zone, like a relay runner passes the baton. For me, praying the Psalms, fixed hours of prayer, using prayer books has been a great part of my spiritual journey. It's brought a vitality and a health to my prayer life. And these three practices, fixed hours, praying the Psalms, using prayer books, has enriched the faith of millions of Christ followers around the world for thousands of years. And I believe they can help you develop a vibrant, healthy, life-giving prayer life. So here's my three challenges this week. Why not put in a fixed hour of prayer into your schedule this week? Pick one time and make it a fixed hour of prayer. And during that fixed hour of prayer, pray a psalm. Or maybe you want to download a sample onto your Kindle or your iPhone or your iPad of the divine hours. And maybe during the fixed hour, try praying one of the liturgies in the fixed hour. And just see what God does as you do this. Set a fixed hour, try a prayer book, or try praying the Psalms, or try both. And see what happens to your prayer life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the early church and for what we can learn from the early church. God, there's so much richness, so much truth. Father, thank you for your word and that we can pray it. Thank you for the prayers of the early church, that we have the amazing opportunity to pray those prayers as our own. God, I just pray that you would allow us to learn so we can be enriched, so we can be developed spiritually, and so we can walk closer with you. In Jesus' name, amen.